You. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding feast at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding, and when the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus replied, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." But his mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." And so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." They did so. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing from whence it came, only the servers who had drawn it knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when the people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. The Word of God today invites us to come to Cana and belong to this great moment, the celebration of a wedding feast. So let me look at this. Cana today is a fairly large town with a population about the same size as South Pasadena, about 24, 25,000 people today. In Jesus' time, it was much smaller. It's very close to Nazareth, about 4 miles. It's very familiar to all those who were pilgrims in our journeys to the Holy Land. All couples renew their vows in the chapel at Cana in Galilee. And those of you who were on these pilgrim journeys will remember that. It gets very little attention in the life of Jesus. There was a wedding feast there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited. Not apostles, they were disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus. Apostles are those who are sent. So the designation of apostles is a post-resurrection identity. So Jesus and his disciples were invited to come to Cana. Jesus will go back to Cana one more time for the second sign. That's the first sign. The second sign, he will go back to Cana. And Cana is also mentioned as the hometown of Nathanael, who was one of the 12. He's called Bartholomew in the Synoptic Gospels. This wedding feast miracle, or the sign, appears only in the Gospel of John. No mention of it elsewhere. The manner in which Jesus responds to his mother, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" It sounds a bit rejecting in our conversations, but way back in the Aramaic language and the culture of the time, it was a gesture of reverence and respect. It appears again in chapter 19, where you have Jesus on the cross, you'll remember this, and looking at his beloved disciple, he says, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." So the designation of woman might sound somewhat distant or offensive to us, but that was not true in the world of Jesus in his time. What else is background do we need to look at? If you read the Gospel of John, he never mentions the name of Jesus' mother. If we only had the Gospel of John, we would not know the name Mary. He refers to the mother of Jesus, and he refers to woman in the Gospel of John, but never mentions the name Mary. It's a sign. There are seven signs in the Gospel of John. And as you know, John's Gospel is very profound. It's deep. It has second and third level meanings. So to read it just as a surface will be to miss the deep teachings of John's Gospel. The notion of 120 gallons of wine. Weddings went on for days and days, but 120 gallons of wine is meant to indicate the extravagant nature of this miraculous sign. Find the same thing, chapter 6 in John's Gospel, where you have the feeding of the multitude. It was 5,000 fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, they didn't count 5,000, but it's meant to give you an idea of the extraordinary character of the miracle, or the sign, as it's called in the Gospel of John. So the first sign, and the last sign, is in chapter 11 in the Gospel of John, the raising of Lazarus. And in between you have these seven signs. And the first power of the sign, it indicates Jesus' divinity. The sign tells us about Jesus' divinity, and they began to believe in him because of the sign. So the sign's first powerful statement is about the power of Jesus Christ, his divine power. But a sign has many faces and many teachings. So let me draw another teaching from the sign of water becoming wine. Biblically, wine is a sign of community. It's a sign of hospitality. It's a sign of belonging. You have wine at the Last Supper. Whenever you find wine, it's a gathering of a community, and it's meant to be a celebration of the community. So wine has very powerful symbols. Biblically, it's a sign of God's presence, of God's benevolence, and it's a sign of God's people gathering. You'll find that throughout our biblical references to wine. The water, in this case, represents something very ordinary. So they take something very ordinary and transformed into something exceptional, something of a celebration, something of fulfillment, something of a community gathering, welcoming, hospitality. These are all the indications, implications of the sign of wine. What does this mean to us? In the 18th century, there was a Hasidic rabbi in Poland named Zusa. Zusa was a holy man, he was a wise man, he was a righteous follower of his God. But Zusa was afraid to die. And on one occasion it's told about Zusa that he told his students that he was afraid to die. And the students were alarmed, they were stunned that somebody so devout, so dedicated to God, and so wise, would be afraid to die. So they questioned him, Zusa, why are you afraid to die? And he said, when I die and go into the presence of my Creator, he will not ask me, why was I not Abraham, who led his people out of slavery? He will not ask me why I was not Joshua, who led the people into the land, the promised land. He will ask me, why was I not Zusa? Why was I not Zusa? And he said, I won't know how to answer why I wasn't Zusa. The teaching, the rabbinic teaching is, you have to be yourself and allow yourself to be transformed. When I go into the presence of my Maker at the end of my life, God is not going to say to me, why were you not Mother Teresa? Not going to say, why were you not St. Ignatius? Why were you not St. Patrick? You should have been St. Patrick. He's going to say, why were you not Clem Connolly? With all your wounds, with your humanity, with your brokenness, with your searching, with your questioning, your doubting, why were you not Clem Connolly? And allow the power of Jesus Christ to transform you. Why don't you accept your humanity and all the struggles you've got in your life and all your limitations and your burdens and your failures and your sins? Why do you not accept yourself and allow yourself, water, to be transformed into plentiful and extravagant wine, to gather people, to bless people? That's the great sign that comes from Galilee. So wonder in your own life, why were you not fully human? Why could you not love yourself just the way you are? Facing your weakness, not wearing a mask about being famous or perfect or ideal, but face your humanity. The foolishness, your dependence, your greed, your struggles, your failures in life. Why could you not accept yourself as you are, the water, and allow yourself to be transformed into the richness of wine? This is the sign of Cana. Amen.